I don't know what Brother Eddie's secret is. He preached last week. He had two special songs, so I don't know. But anyway, we're just glad to be here today. I'm thankful for you folks that are gathered out to be with us on this wonderful day. And I want to remind you, if you would, to be praying for our services. And if you have a copy of God's Word today, I'd like for you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 9, and I'm going to talk about seven strange preachers. How many folks ever know a strange preacher? You might say, well, there's one here today. I don't know, but Brother Eddie, bless your heart. But we know about strange preachers, and we know about that, but... you know, God hath given us, the Bible says, that he chose the foolish things of this world that they might confound the wise today. And it said it's by the foolishness of preaching that they're saved today. But I'm going to talk about seven strange preachers today, and we're going to open up with John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist was a strange preacher, by the way. He had a strange message. He had a strange pulpit, he had a strange dress, and he had a strange diet. The Bible says that his message was one message that said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And I want to read with you another account of John the Baptist. Very little is written in the Word of God about John the Baptist, but I'm reading out of Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9. And the Bible's going to read such as this. You want to just stand it as we honor God's Word. You know, we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. We stand for a lot of things over there. But I don't know of anything that's more precious than the Word of God today. And the Bible says, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding the 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their city. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said unto him, are thou or he should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which he did hear and see. The blind received their sight, and the lame walked, and the lepers were cleansed, and the deaf heard. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And the blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But when thou wert come out to see, a man clothed in soft raiment. And behold, they that wear soft clothes are the king's house. And they went out, and they're to see a prophet. Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom is written, behold, I send a messenger before thy face, that thou shalt prepare a way before me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your blessed word today. We thank you for each soul that's gathered out here today. And Father, let us be honest today under the preaching of the word of God. And that we would be obedient to the spirit that we feel here today. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that you receive all glory, that you receive all the things that are due you today, Lord, which is everything. And Father, we just pray that you go and be with us. For these things we ask in the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Beloved, you may be seated at this time. As we said, John the Baptist, a strange preacher, he had that one message, repent for the kingdom of God was at hand, and he had a strong pulpit. It was the wilderness, the land itself. The Bible said, and over there in the third chapter, that he wore camel hair and leather girt. And he had a strange diet, by the way. He said he ate locusts and wild honey. He said that was his meat. Well, that's some strange things, ain't it? You know, the Bible's full of strange preachers, and we're just going to talk about a few of them today, and we want to introduce it by way of introduction, John the Baptist. But if you will, I want you to cast your thoughts over there into Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8 in verse 1, it talks about over there, and we will get there when we get there. But Noah's dove was a strange preacher. Amen. What did Noah's dove preach to the people over there? The faithfulness of God. You know, I heard a fella tell me the other day, he said he'd have probably never come to know the Lord if he hadn't had a heart attack. That's a strange preacher. Amen. I would have never, if something hadn't happened in my life and brought a message to my life. And I want you to know today that God is using your life as a ministry to you. Some things are very strange preachers sometimes. Think about it just for a moment. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1, it said, "And when the dove returned with an olive leaf in its mouth," it said, "and God remembered Noah." How many times have you felt like God had just abandoned you? Where you at, God? I'm in this situation. I've been obedient, but where you at, God? Aren't you glad that God, as he sent the dove over there with the olive leaf in its mouth to let them know that there was hope out there, there was a dry land out there, all the journey was not in vain. Some of y'all having doves sent to you, by the way. Maybe just a little twig once in a while. Maybe just a little sign once in a while. But I can tell you, this too shall pass. Preachers today preach the faithfulness of God. I like that old song, by the way, the old hymnal. Nobody ever sings it much no more. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. When I got to thinking about some strange preachers in the Bible, my thoughts went to 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 4. That's 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 4. Not only was a dove a preacher in the Bible, Elijah's ravens preached that God could supply our needs. God can supply our needs. You know, over there in the Sermon on the Mount over there, where they got to talking about even the birds are clothed and how that they have homes and all like that, and how that the lilies bloom over there and such is array and all the beauty of all those things. Said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this other stuff take care of itself. All these things shall be added unto you." Elijah's ravens preached that God would supply our needs. Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 4, God commanded him, he said, "Go to the brook, for I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." Do you know that obedience is greater than sacrifice? If we just obey the Lord, you won't have to worry about your needs. God will supply. You don't have to worry about how that it's going to turn out. He knows the beginning before the end. My, can you imagine the message that comes from that? You know, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "My God shall supply all your needs." Is that my Cadillac? How many folks need a Cadillac? Does that mean Nike tennis shoes? How many of you folks really got to have Nike tennis shoes? Does that mean, and I'm trying to think of something else expensive, because I shop at Walmart. Then say you won't. But my God shall supply your need according to his riches and glory. Amen. I'm going to tell you something that most preachers won't tell you today. God ain't broke. I see these preachers get on TV over there, and you'd think that God was behind on his rent. Amen? You'd think that God over there was getting ready to get foreclosed on. You'd think that God over there is over there with how many folks ever put cardboard in your shoe because you had a hole in your shoe, and that was to keep the dirt and the gravel from coming up through it. You'd think that God had holy shoes. Amen. He's got holy feet. I don't know. I don't think he has no holy shoes. But I want you to realize today that when we think about these things today, God ain't broke. Not only does he own 1,000 hills, he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And guess who's going to inherit it all? We will. And we don't have to die to get it. Amen. You know, down here, the only way that you can inherit anything in this walk of life, somebody got to die. Amen. I mean, that's just a bad situation down here, that the only way that you can receive an inheritance, somebody got to die. My Savior already did. And he arose on the third day, and he's sitting on the right hand of God, and we inherit the kingdom. Because Jesus Christ left it to us, amen. Now, why is that? Because the Bible says we're joint heirs with Christ, amen. In other words, we're going to share in that. And listen, I'm tired of seeing God's people acting like a bunch of paupers. I'm tired of seeing God's people walking around, woe is me. I'm tired of seeing God's people over there with their head in their hands and their head bowed low. You are a child of the King. And you are rich in the things that matters. You are wealthy in the things that's eternal. You own everything according to the Word of God. You know, preachers today should preach that God cares and will supply every need to his children. Amen. He's got a responsibility to you. And I'm just here to tell you today that those ravens over there, what a message they preached over there. And he went over there. And I'll tell you, he came into Elijah's life at the lowest point that we find in the Word of God. He said, Lord, I'm the only one left. Won't you just let me die? How many folks have ever got to that point over there and just felt like you was all by yourself? And he said he was to that point over there in that mind drain. God just started sending little birds over there. And remember, they're in a famine that he prayed for. He prayed for it. God sent it, and God will get you through it. Amen. Hey, listen. We'll turn over into Numbers chapter 22, verse 28. I said, I got to think about that. I said, I'm going to make them thumb them Bibles today. Numbers chapter 22 and verse 28. How many of y'all remember Mr. Ed that used to come on TV? Yeah. I actually believed that when I was little. The reason I believed that when I was little, because the Bible tells me so. Amen. Balaam's donkey. That's a strange preacher. Amen. He preached rebuke. Boy, you don't hear that much in church, do you? Preachers would do well in 2019, if we would realize that great fear would come over the congregation if preachers today would rebuke openly those who need it. Those who need it. I don't know what happened to their aim from the pulpit. I remember a time over there when old men of God would stand behind the pulpit and they would hit you right between the eyes. Now it seems like they want to shoot around you. not at you. Hey, the word of God is powerful. The word of God over there will stand for itself. The word of God over there, the Bible says that it's offensive. Balaam's donkey preached rebuke. Now, Numbers chapter 22, verse 27, and you know as well as I knew that horses can't talk. You know as well as I do that donkeys can't talk. Or can they? I've heard of people talking to their dogs. I've also heard of people talking to dead relatives and all too. I don't know about that. But I tell you what the Bible says about it, and it says that over there in Numbers, it said, and the Lord opened his mouth. So can a donkey talk? Well, certainly can when the Lord's in it. Certainly can. If you don't believe that, there's a whole mess of them up there in Washington, D.C. On both sides, amen. And I won't use that other word that says for a donkey in there, but I wish they'd shut their mouths. Titus says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, it said that preachers should rebuke with all authority. Now, what authority does a preacher have? He has nothing outside the word of God. That's all the authority a preacher has. Preacher puts his shoes on just like you do. He puts his breeches on just like you do. He's subject to the same things that you're subject to. He fights the same battles you are over there. He has the same problems as you over there. The only authority that any man of God has, and I don't care if it's a pope, I don't care if it's a street preacher down here, I don't care if his ministry is real big, I don't care if his ministry is real small, the only authority he has is the Word of God. That's it. That's it. But we rebuke with authority of the Word of God. We ought to know a whole lot about being rebuked. Because every one of us was a young'un at some point in time. You remember growing up over there when it seemed like the whole world was, don't do this, don't do that, do this, do this, do that, do this, do that over there. And that was rebuke. Too often from the pulpits in 2019, Bible says in the last days, it said that we will raise up preachers that will scratch your itch. Said they're going to have itchy ears. You ever get something over there and get where you can't scratch your ear? That'll drive you crazy. You ever get where you can't scratch your nose, you know, that'll drive you crazy. But it said that we'll raise up teachers who will scratch their itch. Said in the last day, said they'll have itchy ears. In other words, they'll just want to hear what they want to hear. We're living in that day. People don't like to hear rebuke. People don't like to hear what's wrong. If you want to have a great old big ministry and you want things to go real good and you want great big numbers and you want great big purses and all like that, all you got to do is just preach it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, you're okay. I'm okay. We'll all die and go to hell, okay. The problem with that, it's a lie. And I want to put the devil on notice. I'm going to preach on him tonight. I'm going to preach the seven lies of the devil tonight. So you be praying for me. I've had 1 hour sleep in the last day, and then I've got to tackle him tonight. Y'all pray for me. We'll turn over to Matthew chapter 26 and 74. That's what I was doing last night. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 74. And the Bible reads in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 74, "And immediately the cock crowed, and Simon Peter remembered." Pilate's rooster preached repentance. Pilate's rooster preached repentance. How that we know over there is the fact over there that Simon Peter over there, he was already told over there that he would deny the Lord. Not once, not twice, but three times. And when he heard the cock crow, he realized it was time to repent. Sometimes the Lord has sent a rooster our way telling us to repent. Amen. I want you to realize today that's what the whole church needs is some repentance. Amen. See, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. Your righteousness is filthy rags over there, and there's not a person in here that does not stand in need of repentance. And God, if you ain't real careful, will send a message. How many of y'all believe that nature itself can sometimes preach you a message? Amen. Circumstances of life is a ministry. Sickness is a ministry. Good health is a ministry. Life itself is bringing us a message. I hope that they don't have to send Pilate's rooster to me for me to know to repent. Listen, he said over there, and immediately the cock crowed, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord and went out and wept bitterly. So what did he remember? It wasn't the cock crowing. He remembered what Jesus had already spoken to him. I'll tell you, we need to remember the Word of God. Amen. See, the Word of God will bring repentance in your life because that is the work of the Word of God. The work of God is to change people, to make people more like Christ, to make people walk like Christ, to make people talk like Christ, to make people live a life that is Christ-like. You know, Jesus cried out in Luke chapter 13 in verse 3. He said, and Jesus cried, repent or perish. Repent or perish. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness with one that's burning match. Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, I tell you what, in 2019, if there's ever been a time that we need to learn to repent as a nation. It is 2019. We are spiritually bankrupt in America because we refuse to repent of our sins. A lot of folks say, well, the Democrats have got the answer. The Republicans got the answer. Oh, that make me laugh. God's already given us the answer. Amen. All these things over there, if we got right with God, would take care of themselves. If we'd repent of our sin over there and get in the mindset that God has given us in the Word of God, we wouldn't have to let the politicians run America. God would run America again. We take him out, don't we, John, every way we can. We kick him out of a schoolhouse. We kick him out of a courthouse. And look what moved in its place. We as a church need to pray for repentance in America today. It's our only hope. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, I guess it would have to start with me. Amen. I believe that it'd have to start with me. Revelation says this. Revelation 2:5 said, remember from whence thou art fallen and repent. Remember from whence thou have fallen and repent. You know, we live in a society today where just about anything goes, don't it? You know, I don't know where they pull these nutcases out of. Amen. I didn't know there's that many crazy people in the whole wide world. We elect them all to office. What did it say? Remember from whence thou art fallen and repent. In other words, let's see where this thing jumped off the track at. Let's see where we run out of the road and got in the ditch. Because if we can look at that, then we can go back and fix it. And I'll tell you where we got off the ditch. When we took God out of this, out of everything. When we removed him out of all these things. See, I'm old enough to remember where we used to come to class and you'd hear the principal clear his voice over that box that sat on the wall. Everybody got deathly quiet because that was only second to God Almighty when I grew up as a principal. And we'd all say the Pledge of Allegiance. Amen. We'd all say the Pledge of Allegiance and mean it. We wasn't going through the motions. Then we'd bow our heads and we'd pray to a thrice holy God to get us through that day, led by our educators. That's where we need to get back, America. That's what will change the hearts of a generation. Beloved, if you will, we run out of time. Look in Luke chapter 16 and verse 21. You know, it seems like we're living in times where you don't see much true compassion, do you? And I want to tell you something about compassion, especially as a preacher, you as a church member. You can go out here and tell people what's wrong in their lives. You can psychoanalyze them. You can go out and evaluate them and tell them everything in the world that's wrong with them. People do not care what you know until they know how much you care. People do not care what you know until they know how much you care. If you don't get anything else out of this, I want to look at the rich man's dogs just for a moment. Bible says in Luke chapter 16 that there was a man named Lazarus. He was a poor old boy, and he's probably a street beggar over there. And it said that there was a rich man over there who lived sumptuously. In other words, he had more than he needed over there. And how that Lazarus would lay at his gate every day begging for the crumbs from the rich man's table. The Bible says that the rich man's dog would come and lick his sores. The rich man's dogs preach compassion. Nobody else cared about Lazarus. And I want to tell you something about that right there. There's some ancient medical truths to a dog licking a sore. There's some healing in that. So if you got a bad sore over there, your toe's getting ready to fall, go home and let your dog lick on it. You got that at Moss Moore Church, you won't get that nowhere else. What does a dog do when the first thing when he gets hurt? He licks it. That's why they put that hood of shame on him. You know, you go to the vet over there, and he walks around with that halo over there because it's a hood of shame, because he's been operated on or something, because they know that if you don't put that hood of shame on, he is either going to chew on it or he's going to lick it, Dad. No one else cared for Lazarus. No one else had any compassion. But at least the dogs would come and lick his sores for him. You know, if you ain't got nothing else, that's soothing. Amen. You ever burn your finger? What's the first thing you do? There ain't nothing else better. It works better than anything, you know. With no one else in the world, the dogs come and preach compassion. We care for you. They don't nobody else care for you in this walk of life. We still love you. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. You know, over in Luke chapter 10, verse 33, Jesus said, when the good Samaritan saw him, that he had compassion upon him. You know, we will never, ever, ever, Moss Memorial Church, be a soul-winning church unless we're a compassionate church. Let me tell you something about them boxes out there Chris is talking about. Say, well, them's just orphan children. The government takes care of them. I'll tell you what we're doing in the Baptist Association, and right now we're being flooded by millions of illegal aliens from Mexico. Millions. Thank God that Southern Baptists are doing what they can to feed the children. I don't care if it's right. I don't care if it's wrong. I don't care if it's a Democrat thing. I don't care if it's a Republican thing over there. Church needs to feed them children. I ain't going to wait for that bunch of idiots up in Washington, D.C. to do it. You say, you're down on them. You bet you I am. You say, well, they shouldn't have done this and they shouldn't have done that. I still don't help the rumbles in the young'un's belly. We need to be compassionate people. Don't let God have to send some old dog your way to lick your sores to show you compassion. Acts chapter 12, verse 23. The Bible over there talks about Herod. And the Bible says the way he died, Acts chapter 12 and verse 23, and the Bible says in Acts chapter 12 and verse 23, and he was eaten of worms. Now you're talking about miserable death, to be ate up by worms. You know what them worms were preaching? Judgment. Amen. Judgment time's coming. You know, we can say all we want to, but you know, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, be not deceived, God is not marked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, if we sow to the wind, the Bible says we'll reap the whirlwind. Hey, listen, we got to realize that there are repercussions for every act known unto man. Amen? Hey, listen, your sins were paid for at Calvary. Your sins were completely done away with that. But I'm going to tell you something, born again, saved by the grace of Christ. You go out and commit a sin today, you'll pay the consequences of that sin. Why is that? Because there's no other place to pay for it except right here. Amen? the consequences. Hey, your sins might be forgiven, but the consequences will come back to you. The Bible said over there in Numbers, be sure your sins will find you out. I want you to realize today that as the worms preached to Herod over there, and can you imagine being ate by worms? Hey, I remember growing up over there, by the way. I remember when folks used to have worms. Amen. I remember over there when they used to line us up and worm us, just like the dogs and the pigs and the chickens and the goats over there, because people had worms. They probably still got them today, just don't know it. But can you imagine looking over there and watching yourself being devoured by a bunch of worms? That would be a slow, agonizing death. You know, judgment sometimes is a slow, agonizing thing. You know, in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, it said, it is much that he has appointed a day when he will judge the world by Christ Jesus. Well, that's a strange preacher, a bunch of worms, ain't it? But I want you to know that God, the devil will worm his way in your life today, and the devil will come at you the Bible says he'll come at you as an angel of light. That he'll come at you at that. But it said, inasmuch as he has appointed a day when he will judge the world by Christ Jesus. You know what the Lord's going to use? That right there. That right there. That's the ultimate law book right there. That is the word of God. Matter of fact, if you want to see a portrait of Jesus, you can read it on every page. If you want to know who Jesus is, you'll find it over there. But Jesus Christ will judge the world on these 66 books right here. You say, preacher, I don't much believe. You come tonight because that's one of the lies of the devil. I'll be preaching on tonight. Last thing in our strange message today. Bible says in Revelation chapter 10 and verse 6. Revelation chapter 10 and verse 6. And swear time should be no longer. Who is this strange preacher, by the way? It is the angel of Revelation standing on the land and the sea. And when he puts his time over there, it said that they will split. Half of it will fall into the land, the other half will fall into the sea. And it says, time shall be no more. The message of this is time is running out. Amen? Time is running out. Time's running out. Today is the only promise that we have. As a matter of fact, we don't even have the day. You have that one breath that's in your lungs today. The next one belongs to the Lord. Amen. That's why the Bible says now is the acceptable time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. You don't know, listen now, and I don't mean to carry on, but this is important. You don't know when cancer is going to come knocking on your door. That's a strange preacher, but he'll bring a message. You don't know when a breakup in a relationship is going to come knock on your door. That's a strange preacher, but he's got a message. We don't know when the Lord shall ascend with a shout, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which remain shall be called up to be with him in the air, and so shall we ever be in the Lord. Hey, listen, if I wasn't so old, I'd run. That's a ministry. God is using things in our lives to provide a message. I don't know what's going on. Y'all come on, get a song. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't need to know what's going on in your life. But the Lord knew it before it ever happened. The Lord knew the end before the beginning. And if God is speaking to you through circumstances of life and sending you a strange preacher, then you need to come on up to the altar and say, God, I get it. I know what you're trying to show me. I know what you're sending in my life. Or you might say, Lord, I know there's some things going on. I don't know. Well, the best thing I can tell you is come up here and ask him about it. Come up here and ask him about it. Think about the strange preachers in your life, my life. Let's sing a song. You'll be obedient today. 120 in the Heavenly Highway Hymn Book.